He waited a moment and then says, in exactly the same tone, "May I compliment your highness on your appearance?" I stood glaring at him, on the point of swinging my fist into his impassive face, but he just stared me down, and I found myself saying, "All right, if you must, all right." "Very good, your highness," says he gravely. "May I respectfully suggest that we go down to breakfast? I find that Schönhausen gives one a rare appetite, the country air, of course. Will you lead on, Kraftstein?" I wasn't hungry, but Rudy attacked his food in good spirits and chattered away throughout the meal. He treated me with a nice blend of familiarity and respect, and you would have never guessed, if you'd seen us, that it was all a sham. He was a splendid actor, and although it would have made me feel a complete fool if I hadn't been too miserable to mind, I began to realize even then that there was method in what he was doing. Kraftstein just put his head down and gorged, but on the one occasion he addressed me, he too called me Highness. Bismarck came in just as we were finishing, and he for once wasn't playing charades. He stopped dead on the threshold, though, at sight of me, and then came into the room slowly, studying my face, walking round me, and examining me carefully for a minute or more. Finally, he says, "The likeness is astounding. In effect, he is Carl Gustav." "So your friends have been trying to convince me," I muttered. "Excellent. It is not quite perfect, though. Two small details remain." "What's that?" says Rudy. "The scars. One either side, the left immediately above the ears, the one on the right an inch lower and running slightly downward. So." And he drew his finger across my shaven skin. The touch sent mice scampering down my spine.
"By heaven, you're right," says Rudy. "I'd forgotten. How did we give him those?"
My innards turned to water as Bismarck surveyed me with his icy smile. "Surgery, it is possible. I've no doubt Kraftstein here could employ his razor most artistically."
"You're not cutting my bloody head, you bastard," I shouted,
and tried to struggle out of my chair, but Kraftstein seized me with his enormous hands and thrust me back. I yelled and struggled, and he clamped his paw across my jaws and squeezed until the pain made me subside, terrified. "But there's a better way," says Bismarck. "They can be administered in the proper form, with the Schlager. The Goethe can do it without difficulty." He added with a nasty look at me, "And it will satisfy a small debt that I owe to our friend here."
"Aye," says Rudy doubtfully, "but can he do it exactly? They must be in precisely the right places, mustn't they? No use giving him a wound where Carl Gustav doesn't have one."
"I have every confidence in De Goethe," says Bismarck. "With a sabre he can split a fly on the wing."